Hi, everyone, at Base Camp in the Secret Garden. This is Gary with Sam and John. And so it's been a while since we've had a campfire conversation. I think I said that last time we talked as well. And we've just had a lot going on. And last week we couldn't do it because Sam and I, and as well as Jerry, who's on Base Camp right now, and Brad, we were all in the Base Camp gathering. So what we wanted to do tonight was share a little bit from our time. And this really isn't a kind of a debrief on our time in the gathering. It's really around the idea of what is God saying to us individually. And so, you know, if somebody's listening, whether you were there or not, we'd love to just hear, if you want, what is God saying to you as of recent? If you've been to the gathering, we'd really love to hear what he said to you there or since then. And let me just say one thing, and then John and Sam, you jump in. Part of our idea with the Base Camp gathering, first of all, it's only for men who have been through a calling retreat, a calling intensive, it's your call retreat, all these different names we've gone through on this event. And the idea is that everyone that comes has a voice. It's just not me, it's just not Sam, it's just not John. We all have a voice. And so we pick different guys throughout all these years we've been doing this to take a session. And during that session, they have 30 minutes to share something. And then the next hour preceding their 30 minutes, they have to lead the guys into some sort of interaction, just them with the Lord off alone, them with a small group of guys, them with the whole group, or a combination of that. And so it really is phenomenal what happens there, because every person has a voice into everybody's life. And so it was big for me anyway. So John, Sam, any thoughts on that?
You know, that was one of the things that really struck me too, was I would walk around all 3 or 4 days and I kept seeing men engaged in really good, deep conversation with other men everywhere. And you know, they weren't just talking about football. They were really going deep. And in fact, several times I would see guys praying over each other, and I just thought, this is such a beautiful picture of, I think of that verse in Ephesians, the whole body grows and builds itself up together in love, with each individual part doing its own work. I thought that was a real picture of what we saw last week.
What is it that you guys like best about Base Camp, as opposed to any other retreat?
Well, for me, I love that I get to just be one of the guys. You know, I really enjoy, you know, teaching or explaining or creating an environment, that kind of thing. I enjoy that, but I enjoy being on the other side of that as well. And I love the camaraderie. We are all equals. We are, as Jeff Andrijan likes to talk about all the time, we are all men sitting at the round table. I really love it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say the same for me. Just so many men speaking into my life, and that was really the case this year. I lost count of the number of men who, just through casual conversation, they were just sharing from the weightiness of their own life, but it was hitting me deep and really impacting me, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Sam, how about you?
Well, I think that I completely agree. I really like the sort of the shoulder-to-shoulder approach. I think the thing that stirs me most is this is a retreat that goes from Thursday dinner to Sunday lunch. So that's quite a bit of time. Thursday to Friday to Saturday is 48 hours plus more than 12, so 60 hours, 70 hours of time, say. And in that time, we have 7 sessions, but in the 7 sessions, we only allow, for each session, we only allow 30 minutes of teaching. I mean, there's a real strict rule, 30 minutes of teaching and then another hour of some kind of interaction. So over 60 hours, we only have 3.5 hours total teaching. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about that?
No, I haven't until you did that math. That's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, 3.5 hours total over 2.5-day weekend. But we have lots of time that's either time with God or time in a group discussion or small group discussions. And I find almost every time the thing that hits me most, and I hate to say this because I'm one of the speakers often, you know, but it's not the speakers, you know. It's, I'm thinking, anyway, we've really designed it in a way that's very free for God to move in all kinds of ways that are completely out of our control. In fact, it has to be out of our control because we haven't controlled much of those things. And I find those things are really very impactful to me, either the time with God or the time in small group or the time in large group, where we're just talking and discussing and sharing ideas and problems and, you know, life. And those are the times that always hit me the most. And it's the unstructured time, really. And
yeah,
I really like that. I think that's my favorite bit of the retreat.
Yep. So guys, what we wanted to do during this time is John and Sam and myself wanted to share something very specific that God has been speaking to us, something he's been showing us, something he's been stimulating, bringing to the top of our heart around the base camp gathering, whether it started there or it was put into focus there or whatever that is, just about our journeys and what God is saying. And, you know, one, we want to articulate with each other and with you. And secondly, we just really hope that it will be maybe helpful in some way. So I typically start first. Let me not go first this time. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think we should have John go first. Got to be fast, John.
I'll go first. I don't mind.
Okay.
Actually, I think going to the gathering and then even on the way home, God really did something pretty special in me that I wasn't expecting. I had shared some at the retreat how, well, I'm in this stage of life where I'm going into what I call the last third of your life. And that's just the time so often in Scripture where men and women were used. That was the most powerful time of their life. And so the last several years, that's been sort of a focus for me. But in the last couple of years, I've also had an increasing fear of the future, not knowing what may be contained in that last third. And so Mark Wager did a talk, and a good portion of his talk, he spoke about fear. And that was very helpful. But then as I was flying home, I was reading Tom Mills' book. And I was reading through the book.
What's it called again?
Is it Rubble to Restoration?
Redemption.
Redemption. Yeah.
Yeah. Redemption, yep. Okay.
Yeah, and in the book, I don't remember what the subject of the particular chapter was, but the verse in 1 John, they quoted the verse in 1 John that talks about there is no fear in love. The one who fears has not been completed or perfected in love. And when I read that, it hit me that if I'm going into the future and I'm experiencing fear, then there's some element or some degree to which God's love for me has not been completed in me yet. And so I just began to pray through that and journal it and bring that to the Lord. And I have experienced a real freedom the last week or so from just this nagging fear that I had of the future. It's been much more of an excitement to move forward, just knowing that whatever the rest of my life holds for me, I know I'm fathered by the one who loves me most and that I can trust him. He's good. Anyway.
Now, are you saying, John, that this is sort of a mixture of your talk where you're talking about the last third of life and then Mark Wager's talk, which was the next morning?
Yeah. And put those two together, then flying home and reading the book, and seeing that verse just stand out like that, It was just like God saying, here's something that you weren't expecting. You didn't realize this fear was crippling you as much as it is, but it is, and it's just an indication you haven't been perfected in my love for you, and this is an area that I want to perfect in you. I want to bring it to completion. So I said, okay, and I just think that's something he's done, that I'm experiencing a sense of freedom and joy looking towards the future, and I'm not experiencing that fear that I had.
That's amazing to feel freedom, some freedom from a fear that has been, as you're saying, there so long. That's amazing.
Well, it sure is good.
So you're thinking about it and you're seeing how it holds you captive. How do you feel like you got from being under the fear to being out of the fear?
I don't know how to explain it other than I just have I think a deeper conviction of his love for me has helped me to face the uncertain future, knowing that I can trust him with it. It may be something horrendous. It may be something painful, but it may not. And it really doesn't matter because it's just a season, and then there's heaven. And in the meantime, he's never taken me through anything that he didn't redeem in some really good way.
So Christian Wright asks, how is he perfecting his love in you? Can you expand that a bit?
That's something I'm having a hard time putting into words because I think it's just some kind of a supernatural work he did in my heart. He let me see that there was a fear that I wasn't fully aware of it. He let me see that it was sidetracking a portion of my heart. And he took me back to how much he has shown me of his love for me, which has been a huge thing for 10 years now. And so in the process of going back through all that, it was just kind of a letting go of that fear and saying, regardless of what comes, I've got this conviction, confidence in his love for me that is better than whatever it is I'm fearing. That's the best I can do at explaining it.
Trying to explain the supernatural part of this, right?
You know, some things, and I remember talking with some guys about this in some other areas. There are some things that God just has to speak to you, and he has to speak it deeply into your heart. You can listen to a sermon, you can read a book, you can read the scripture, but you just have to have God speak directly into your heart and make that a reality in your belief system, in your convictions. And how he does it, I just don't know. It's just part of the walk.
Right, part of the very life of Jesus in you.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Gary, well, what did God say to you?
Well, there was really a convergence of things that it's been going on for, I'll explain the it's been going on for a while, but the something that was shared at the base camp gathering really pushed us up to the surface, and it was Mark Wagger's talk on dreaming and fear, how fear kills the dreaming. And he shared a story of, you know, where his wife said, hey, let's just talk about our dreams. I think they were driving somewhere. Maybe
every guy was convicted. Every guy
there. Oh, my goodness. He told my story verbatim. You know, so he's saying she's sharing a story about what she would dream, where she would live, what she would do. And she asked him, and he basically said, you know, I don't really have any dreams, but he kind of went off saying, you know, we don't have money to do what you want to do. We could never have, you know, went through it. And I have done that to Lee so many times because she'll say, well, let's just talk about our dreams for a minute. I hate the word dreams. I do not. I don't like it. And I've just done that 100 times. So anyway, he's sharing the story, and it brings back all of these times people have talked about dreams. And if I can distract the conversation, send it another direction, I will. So anyway, he's talking about this, and I'm realizing, you know what, at this point in my life, I don't really have any dreams or visions or vision, whether that's, you know, at a smaller level, like our marriage or our family, or a bigger level with our lives together in the kingdom or the noble heart. I was very struck by that. Now, what you have to understand is in my talk, in the beginning, I shared this quote. It's by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I loved it. It was kind of center stage, and I'll put this on the chat line on both for you. It's kind of center stage to talk in many ways. But after hearing Mark's talk, I thought, this isn't me, you know, and it reads like this. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, the world has reached a major watershed in its history, equal to in importance to the turn from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance. It will demand from us a spiritual blaze. We shall have to rise to a new height of vision, to a new level of life. And I love that. I'm inspired by it. I want to be that. And I think I admitted I don't feel like I have much of a blaze in my inner life. But Mark's talk kind of pushed it further with me, made it very personal with me. And I thought, I have no vision. Okay, so then that's one. The second thing is I got a call just a couple days after getting back from base camp. And it was from a guy that I've known for many years, came to an event, it was probably 8 years ago, maybe. And he called me, actually emailed first and said, can we talk? I want to talk to you about the Noble Heart. So in this conversation, he said, so what's going on with the Noble Heart? Where do you sense it's supposed to go? And what do you think you need to get there? And I really have never liked people to ask me that question because I don't have an answer. You know, it's just like, oh, same old, you know, same struggles. That's what's going on in me, but I know I don't want to say that. So he asked that question, and I said a few things. Then he upped the ante by saying, well, my wife and I have inherited some money, both of us from our parents who have died recently, and we want to invest significantly in a few ministries. So he really upped the ante on me. And he said, that's why I'm asking this question. And to be honest, I had no other answer. In fact, the answers I gave him rang fairly hollow in my own ears. And they weren't specific. And I got off the phone and I thought, I have no vision anymore. I feel like I am just holding on. I'm just sitting in the water on my board. I'm not trying to catch a wave and stand up. I'm just playing it safe. And so, John and Sam, you know, I called you guys shortly after that, and I said, I'm visionless. I'm stuck here. And so, okay, so that's – and then let me give you one more story. So they're all converging. So then just, I think, 2 days ago, a friend called me, and he said I'd really like to talk for a little bit about some things. And he got on the phone and described his life, and many things in his life have fallen apart now on every level. He's out of work. His marriage has fallen apart. He's divorced. He's dating a girl. Now he's been divorced for quite a while, but he's dating a girl who really wants to get married, and he's not so sure, but now he's feeling the pressure. And he's got his kids, full custody, but he can hardly afford to pay for anything they want. I mean, it's going on and on. And at the end of the conversation, he said to me, Gary, here's my fear. He said, I've been told in the kind of work I do, that if you're not well established in your field by age 50 and making a pretty good income, which shows that you are successful, no one will want to hire you. And something sank in my heart. And then I kind of woke back up and I said, you know, I said, in this world, that may be very true. I'm not going to say it's not in this world system, but I said, either you're a Christian or you're not. Either God is real or he's not. And if he's real and you're a believer, you're a follower, then that means he can put you anywhere he wants. He doesn't care about the world system. You know, don't go to get by. Go where he wants you to go. So as you can tell, all these things are coming in on my own life. And so I am in this place now where I realize that I have been kind of, but my analogy is, you know, if you go into an elevator and you're going down several floors, so you're in there for, you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever it is, and several people sneeze, you can't think you're going to get out of there without having taken on those germs. You know, you're breathing the same air. And so all you could do is hope that your immune system is strong enough that you're not going to get sick. And I realized, you know, I'm breathing this air in of this world with things like, you know, it's over. All you can do is, you know, play with the cards you've been dealt. This is as good as it gets. And I feel like I have awakened from this thing that this infection has put on me to go, wait a minute, I want to dream big again. I want to believe God again. I don't want the world to tell me how my life is going to finish. John, back to your talk about the last third of your life, or Jeff, the last half of your life. And so therefore, you know what? I've gathered a few friends at this point, you know, it's John and Sam, and said, help me see what my life is to look like in these years. And in fact, we're talking, and three of us are getting together in the middle of October, you know, to say, I want to get face to face. Let's do this. So that's been a huge thing for me.
That's great.
You know, Gary, we've talked a lot about this over the last year or so, and I kept meaning to bring this up. I don't know why I haven't before, but there's a psalm, and it's one of the Psalm 40-something that struck me. It's David, and he's talking about, I used to go along with the throng. I used to lead the people into the house of worship. And he talked about how in the past he was so excited and so enthusiastic and just, you know, as so many people say, fired up. But he finds himself in a place at this point where he's just going, I remember those days, but that's not my experience anymore. And I long for those days. And I thought that's a lot about what we've described here, is just how we're missing those younger days of passion. And I'm wondering if there's not something of value going through a time like what you're going through, where it's kind of like a love affair that starts out with infatuation. The infatuation's gone, and now it's time for real love to develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a deepening. I do think that I have gone through this place of really kind of falling into the world system of thinking. You know, one of the verses, and then I do want to transition over to Sam here, but one of the verses I shared in my talk, which again, it's like my talk has come back to haunt me, that it's this verse in 1 Peter 1:17, where basically, I mean, just to give you the nugget of the verse, it says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Now, yeah, that refers to this empty way of life, of living life on our own. There is no God, and I don't need a Savior, and I can make this work, and I can make happiness and all this. But I thought, you know what? It feels easy to fall back into the empty way of life that this world hands you when I've been redeemed from it, and to be able to come back out, you know, and say, no, I don't live in that anymore. That's not a set of rules I'm living by anymore. And then the other thing that hit me, and I just put this up there, that verse that everyone's familiar with, Romans 12:2, which basically says, well, it says, so don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Here it is, right? The world, the vision, the dream, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I feel like I'm waking up and saying, you know what? No. I don't belong in this room. I live in a different world. So, yeah. So, Sam?
Boy, I feel like we should just say a prayer and say amen. That's hard to follow.
No, you don't want to follow my life exactly, no. Okay, hey, go ahead. I'm kidding.
So, the opening session, Gary led the opening session, and he took us through some clips from the movie 13 Hours, you know, and it's sort of the sort of docudrama of the Benghazi events that took place, 2 years ago now? Two and a half years ago. Anyway, there was a lot of different points that Gary was making, and some of it, you know, one of the things that struck me was when he quoted Martin Luther King, who talked about the fierce urgency of now. And then Gary sent us away sort of with questions. He just said, I want you to take 5 minutes of reflection on the battle that God has called us to. Now, that's not actually what he said. That's what I heard. I think Gary's comment was, I want you to take 5 minutes just to reflect on what God is stirring in you. But the thing that stirred in me is, what am I fighting for? And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm sitting there on my little phone typing my notes because I didn't bring a pen and paper. And I just felt like God, so Gary had started his sessions by saying, what are some words that describe what you need or expect from our time together? What do you want looking for from these 2.5 days at base camp? And I would say the thing that struck me the most was I was really hoping for certain clarity. I feel like I have too many things going on, you know, and therefore I'm doing nothing right. I'm treading everything shallowly, you know, because I don't have time to go deep on anything. And I'm looking for clarity. I'm looking for what I should do. Then Gary gives us time to reflect at the end of a session. And I just felt like God called me with some very clear words about what God is calling me for and what God is calling me against. I felt like God is calling me for certain just kind of truth about God that is getting tarnished in the world. It's very interesting. Gary was talking about being influenced by the world, by being in the elevator, you know, and people are sneezing and you just know you're catching their diseases. But I feel like God is calling me for things that are just traditional Christian values that it isn't people that people have argued against, it's just that they've disappeared. You know, like, I would say most Christians I talk to don't know how to read Scripture. They just, you know, they in their daily life, they don't read Scripture most days. And I feel like God said, you know, the first thing is, I feel like God calls me to battle for loyalty to hearing God in Scripture and engaging people to see His way and see Jesus in Scripture. And I also felt like God called me to battle against a set of things. And I was just stirred the opening night. I felt like I was looking for clarity, and then God gave me some clarity. Then Friday went by, and then Friday evening, John led a session in about the last third of life, which I clearly am in. Might be the last quarter of life, maybe the last 10%. You know, who knows? But John shared a video which has, is it John Elway? No, it's not John Elway. It's Manning.
Yes,
Manning.
It was
Peyton,
Peyton Manning. You know, one of those Denver guys. it's Peyton Manning saying, you've all heard it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert. You know, but what happens when you have 20,000 hours in something or 30,000 hours in something? What do you do then? And it's a very moving, it's a great little video, and I think it's only 30 seconds. And he says, you know, instead of just playing the game, you've come to change the game. And John just left us saying, what is your game? What is the game that God has called you to change? And you know what? Coupled with Gary's session the night before, I just felt moved. I feel like, and I literally wrote this on my little phone. I'm gonna read it to you. My game is the world of Christian ideas, a deadly arena, the Roman Colosseum, where the heart of Christianity is at stake. Collaborators, confusers, counterfeiters, charlatans, leaders eager for personal gain, they all dance before the crowds. And those crowds are unaware that it's they themselves, their very lives, that are threatened by and bait for the prowling lions. And you know what? I don't know what it was, but when I wrote that, I felt like God gave me clarity. To me, it moved me to say, I believe that my job, to the degree that I can, is to fight the wrong ideas that are entering the Christian world. A lot of the ideas are syncretistic with Eastern religions. A lot of the other ideas are syncretistic with modern counseling methods, therapy methods that just are anti-scripture, anti-biblical. They're agnostic or atheistic, and they have nothing to do with God. Just like Gary was just saying, you know, we look at the world without God, and we look at things very differently. And I just felt like called by God again to say, I think my job in life, to my degree, I'm not Oz Guinness, but my job in life is to combat the evil entry of worldly ideas into the Christian world. And I just felt like it gave me the greatest clarity I've had in years about what I'm supposed to write about, what I'm supposed to fight for, what I'm supposed to pursue. So I was just astounded and amazed at what I felt was the clarity of what God was giving me to do, just coming from personal prayer time at the event.
Right. Well, I have, Sam, I have only seen you over these years cry a few times. You know, 3, 4, maybe 5 times over all of these years. And this was one of those times. And you know, to the point that as you were reading it, you were maybe a third of the way in, and you, I bet we had to wait 90 seconds before you could start to speak again. You know, I could see how deeply moved you were. And I think, you know, John and I could feel how true it is of you, that this is your compelling. This is the battle. You know, this is what is always on in you versus something you have to turn on when it's needed. So, yeah, very powerful.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, that when you shared that, what struck me is how true it is to you, particularly when you describe the arena. You talked about it like a football stadium or something, and I just thought that is the arena that you fight in. It just rang true of who you are.
Yeah, you know, it's so amazing. I'm excited and ecstatic about it. I'm eager to sort of, with this newfound clarity, figure out ways that I can battle the counterfeit lies that are coming into the Christian culture. And I'm not just talking about the obvious ones, you know, about all the sexual freedom that has been against stuff, but I'm talking about the things that are beneath that, that created, that made it so easy. And I'm excited. I'm just excited. I don't know exactly what to do, but I really want to start doing it.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, it's like anything. It's like, I think once we realize what we're compelled to see change, going back to the illustration with the, you know, the 20, 30,000 hours that God has given you, now how are you going to change the game? And then the question has become how. You know, is it primarily writing? Is it speaking? Is it working one-on-one with individuals where you see it's happening? It will be fascinating to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me talk one other idea, too, as we're down in the last little bit of time here. You know, one of the things that David Geyer, who's on here, said to me while we were at base camp is, he said, you know, it'd be really good if we could have another kind of gathering, an additional kind of gathering of just a few people who want to try to really hammer out what it is that God wants them to do and how they're to do it. Now, you know, the It's Your Time retreat that, Sam, you and I have piloted, and John, you've joined us too,
uh-huh,
on a few times, is for that, but this is kind of the next level to say, no, we really want to get in the room and start writing ideas of how to create something, or or how to organize it, or something like that. And literally, it's a kind of a brain trust of, in listening to God, how are we literally going to make this thing happen now versus what should literally be happening? I think this is partly what our communities are about, is to say, let's walk this out together. And so, like I said, therefore, I'm at this point, and I thought, I don't think I can by myself completely see the dreams, the vision, the future that God wants for me. And nor will I see it big enough. So, you know, we're talking, and then we're getting together in the middle of October, you know, at Sam's house to say, no, let's really start hammering this out. And I think we need to do that with each other here at Base Camp. So.
I agree.
So let me just invite anyone else. If someone, we've got, I would say, another 5 minutes. If anybody else would like to get on and actually share something on the phone briefly about what God spoke to you, showed you, revealed to you, you certainly may do that. Or you could write something on the chat line, and we'd be glad to read that as well. And as we're waiting, John, Sam, any other thoughts?
I was just reading Michael Thompson's comment. He says, when I wake up to desire or cause, I then find it becomes an opportunity to walk with God and discover he is going to bring this to me, or do I need to make this happen? Does that ring true with anybody on the phone? It's usually a great deal of both for me. He does things I can't do, opens doors and brings folks into my life, and invites me to knock on some doors, make some calls, take some steps towards intentional movement on my part.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's always the journey right there. Yeah. You know, one of the verses, and we'll give us just a few more minutes, one of the verses that hit me again as I've come back and I'm wrestling and with this, and God keeps bringing, kind of coming in all these different doors with me on my life, my heart, my vision, is a verse we're all familiar with, Ephesians 3:20. But in the Living Version, I love the way it says. It says, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And, you know, again, we're familiar with this verse, but I think it just hit me differently as I've pushed myself away from this idea that, you know, God's life is powerfully within me and he can accomplish far more than I've ever thought about or wished for. And to just kind of go after that and say, no, I'd really like to know what that is. And I'd like to be a part of this, you know. So, yeah. Okay, any last thoughts here, you guys?
You know, I think the thought that I would have is I don't know that we have to go away to Base Camp to have this kind of experience. I do think that just in the ones and twos and threes and fours of us, we could sometimes just have some kind of topic. It doesn't have to be a lecture. And then we all go off and just say, what is God saying to us about that? And we come back and share it. I mean, it can be in small groups spread around the country. You know, we can say, let's watch this video clip. Say, what is God saying to us? And then come back and share it. And I just think there's real power in sort of in the unplanned. The talks are good. The talks are good. I don't mean to say that they aren't. But I think that God almost always speaks to us in the time with God and then time sharing together. And so I think we can do many events like that throughout the year all the time. With friends, we can just say, I'm confused right now. I just need God. Let's watch this video clip. Let's walk away for 15 minutes. Let's call each other in 15 minutes and say, what did God say to us? I mean, I really do think that this can be a little model of what we do throughout the year, inside Base Camp, outside Base Camp, inside Secret Garden, outside Secret Garden, just to stir the pot that God is stirring in us.
Right. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
And I was just going to add, you know, Tom Mills wrote a book that he shared with us at Base Camp, and when he and Ralph did their session, they quoted from the tagline of the book, which is, "The fathering of God through the brothering of men." And as they said that, all of us were just kind of, wow, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's I think that's what you're saying, Sam, is that's just the way God loves to father us, is through each other. It's, you know, as we share our lives and open our lives up to one another and then speak into each other's lives, that's God doing it through each other, and he's fathering us in the process.
Yeah, and by the way, that is such a great subtitle or tagline. It really is. Yeah. So for those of you listening who weren't at the gathering, I mean, it really was amazing that Ralph and Tom Mills, who really kind of met each other for the first time in, really, a year ago at Base Camp Gathering.
Yeah, no kind of about
close, it. Yeah, that's true. And became very close friends. And out of that, you know, especially Ralph's walking with Tom, that Tom had the courage and the strength to do something that's been on his heart to do as a clinical psychologist with a practice, to write a book. And in 1 year, he wrote that book. He was able to bring it and to the Base Camp Gathering. He talked about that process as far as really the fathering of God through the brothering of men. And it was really good, but what an amazing story. So, well, everyone, thank you. This has been a fun night tonight. Next Wednesday night, we will do a campfire conversation next Wednesday as well, because I will leave on Thursday again next week, as I'm leaving. Sam and I are leaving tomorrow. So we'll do another Wednesday night, and we'll kind of watch how many people can join us, because there's a few of you we're seeing on here that we haven't seen for a while, which is so good. And we're wondering if that's a factor of it's Wednesday night, not Thursday night. So we may continue with Wednesday nights for a while. We really like to find the best night for everyone. And so we will be back with you next Wednesday night, and we'll send you an email and let you know, and maybe let you know kind of our plans for this in the future when we have them. So, all right, everybody. Good night. Thanks for being with us. See ya.
Good night, all.
Good night.